Are you going to stand up for what you believe, or are you going to compromise that to win Miss USA?
The president is somebody who prays each and every day, whether it's National Prayer Day or not.
Protect the dignity of every human person, the sanctity of human life from the tiny baby in the womb.
Hold up your Bible. Say it like you mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. I will never be the same. God bless you.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
Well, they used to just call it education, and now we have to look back on it, not only historically, but also, well, we got to look way back on it in some cases and refer to it as classical education. When we call something classical, we usually mean it is venerable, it is old, it is time-tested, it is proven, and it has a certain quality to it, a certain quality perhaps better than what we enjoy today. And when we talk about classical education, I think all of those things are in play. Now, you may have never heard of the classical model of education. Hopefully, after this half hour of Issues, etc., you'll be at least passingly familiar with it, and you'll understand why its return is so necessary, not only for us as citizens, but also as Christians. Greetings and welcome to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our discussion on classical education, we'll get a Washington update from Congressman John Chimkus. Our call-in number live this Wednesday afternoon, the 29th of April, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. And our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Stephen Hine is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, based in Monument, Colorado. He taught theology for more than two decades at Concordia University Chicago, and will be one of the speakers at a classical education conference June the 30th through July the 2nd in Concordia, Missouri. Dr. Hine, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's good to be with you this afternoon.
Why is a return to classical education good for both the culture and for the church?
Well, I think one of the things that is needed for both the culture and the church are educated people. That is, people who are able to have the tools to be able to understand in a critical way things that are significantly true or good or beautiful. And for the things that swirl around us in either the church or the world, to be able to conduct their own independent inquiries as to whether, as to where the truth and the value of things lay, that they don't have to ask other people around them to know what things really mean.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about classical education, classic style. Where did it originate? And am I right in my assumption here that classical education could equally well be called classical Christian education?
Very much so. When we talk about classical education, as you mentioned at the beginning of the program here, we're using that term not in some kind of a rocket science technical way. We simply mean the old stuff, like you might talk about classic Coke, the original stuff. And as we're thinking about that, we're thinking about the kind of education that held sway throughout the course of Western civilization, and especially what was recovered, particularly by the Lutherans in the 16th century, namely recovering the foundations of that actually go back to the Greco-Roman world of ancient times, but revolved around the seven liberal arts, and particularly the first three, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, as the primary language tools by which an educated person is able to carry out inquiries into matters of truth, into matters of goodness and beauty. And it was the Lutherans, particularly in the time of the Reformation, that recovered this idea of education, but put it on a foundation of understanding citizenship for Christians in both church and world, and that this was an education that was not just simply for the gifted or for the elite, but that every child had the right to becoming an educated person.
Okay, talk about that for a moment, because the Lutheran concept, really nothing other than the biblical concept of Christian vocation, is closely tied together with this, especially in the way that what used to be called a liberal arts education was conceived.
Indeed. The goal that we're talking about, and that the Lutherans and for that matter the Christian West, as both Reformed and Roman Catholic circles adopted the models that the Lutherans began with, where they understood that the goal of a classical education, now in Christian garb especially, was to raise up a virtuous, educated Christian who knows in a normative way himself, his world, and his God. And by virtue, of course, virtue was understood to be grounded in the Christian virtues of the righteousness of faith, hope, and love, but also including the worldly virtues of wisdom, courage, temperance, prudence, and chastity, because of an understanding that the Christian is one who inhabits two kingdoms, both heavenly and earthly, that we live a life of faith in relationship to our God, but we live a life of being worth something through the callings of Christian vocation as faith goes to work serving Christ and the neighbor's need. To do that best, and to do that with the best stewardship, the better educated person, the more responsible and the more useful in both kingdoms one can become.
So compare and contrast. How is classical education different from what we find nowadays passing as education, modern education theory?
Very good. Maybe we could also indicate that when we talk about a classical approach to education, we're talking about something that isn't specifically designed to prepare a student to make a lot of money or to make a living. Its goal and purpose is to make a life, with the idea that if a person can successfully address both the temporal and spiritual challenges of making a life, both now and in eternity, well, then making a living is easy. But contemporary education, often referred to as progressive education, which arose in the latter part of the 19th century, was an education that was designed to fulfill utopian visions of what the industrial age, driven by coal and petroleum and mass production, could produce in the area of both the production and consumption of material goods and then also services. The progressive education moved from the idea of creating a virtuous educated person to the idea of creating the most efficient, effective mass labor force to produce goods and services. In other words, it changed the focus from the idea of making a life to the idea of making a living, and where life was simply understood in a very materialistic way.
So in other words, classical education is not a utilitarian enterprise as modern education is. In other words, the pig farmer in Iowa would be viewed as benefiting as much from a class in philosophy as would the philosophy professor or the professional theologian.
Oh, very much so. In fact, just the example that you gave, namely the agrarian farmer. The agrarian farmer was a person who needed to be an educated person because he had to do an awful lot of things, and particularly he had to do an awful lot of problem solving. He had to make a lot of decisions and analysis in so many given areas. In order for him to do the things that he needed to do, he and his family, in order for that ground that he lived on to provide for that family a living. And not only a living in terms of in a material sense, but a living in relationship to also an understanding of the calling of God. We had those foundations whereby education had an understanding to be feeding a life of faith as well as a life of living in this temporal world.
Then with the minute and a half before we take our first break, Dr. Hine, you mentioned before what's usually called the trivium, but the first three of these classical ways of approaching knowledge and learning, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. Just a breakdown of that very briefly with a minute and a half before our break.
Sure. The most basic language skill we call grammar level learning, and grammar level learning simply has to do with an understanding of simple concepts and simple objects and the way upon which language grammar simply functions. On an analytical level or logic, here we're talking about how it is that you construe or how it is that you critically interact with and connect the facts or concepts that we might learn on a grammar level. And then rhetoric has to do with creative expressions of concepts or objects. It has to do with making evaluations or applications or new creative combinations of things that we might know, not just simply analyzing critically that which someone else has done. And it involves using language both written as well as oral.
Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest. We're talking classical education. Our call-in number on this Wednesday afternoon, the 29th of April, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email questions or comments to us for Dr. Hine on classical education, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. By the way, remember both that phone number and that email address, because in 10 minutes we'll be talking with Dr. Congressman John Shimkus and getting a Washington update. 1-877-623-6943, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about classical education. Dr. Stephen Hine is our guest, director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies, based in Monument, Colorado. He taught theology for more than two decades at Concordia University of Chicago, and he's going to be one of the speakers at a classical education conference in Concordia, Missouri, June the 30th through July the 2nd. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 1-877-623-MYIE. Email us your questions or comments, talkback@issuesetc.org. Dr. Hine, what have been the consequences of Christians, in particular, buying into what you called earlier progressive education?
I think the major problem with progressive education is that it has largely been a secular education. All education has some sort of frame of reference in trying to approach matters of meaning, purpose, and value of the things upon which we learn. And today, especially the second half of the 20th century and now into the 21st century, most public progressive education believes that there are no ultimate answers. There are no objective purposes or meaning to things. Things just simply mean what we want them to mean. Therefore, Christians also, in relationship to matters of faith, have a very difficult time having any kind of real education that integrates matters of faith and life as well as matters of faith and field. The Christians need to know not only what we believe, but we need to know why it is that what we believe is true. And we need to be able to integrate the things that we learn from God's revelation from the things that we learn as we discover them in the world in which we live. And contemporary progressive education does not provide any of these things, but seeks rather to provide a relativistic worldview and to socialize Christian children on that basis. And I think that's the biggest threat and problem, and why it is that a classical Christian education is so important.
Ken in Orlando, Florida, with a question, email. In addition to providing our children with a classical Christian education, my wife and I would like to create a classical Christian culture in our home where our children are exposed to great books, music, art, and theology. Does Dr. Hine have any suggestions that would help us achieve this goal?
Well, I think the very things that that you're doing there from an educational standpoint are certainly going to be doing that. I think one of the most important things that you can do in the home is to create what we would call an ethos of learning. That is to say that the parents reflect also an important interest in terms of how they live their life and how they interact with their children by indicating especially that the important issues of human existence, that is, what is life, what is death, how is it that we secure the future, are important things that not only that we have been pondering recently and that are important for us today, but are part of a great conversation that has been expressed in literature, in philosophy, in music, in theater through the ages, and to expose our children to those particular venues through a whole plethora of media resources that are open to us today.
This email from Daniel in Minneapolis. Discussions about classical education usually center around educating the children for good reason. However, as mostly a product of public education, I've often wondered what resources or groups there might be for an adult who wishes to supplement his modern education. Something along the lines of adult classical education would be great. I've often stated, Dr. Hine, that in that respect, almost all of my real education was remedial because I'm a product of the progressive education model and needed a lot of remedial education as an adult. What resources do you know of?
Well, I would have to first of all confess that I'm in the same boat also with our listener there. And the product, therefore, also of a remedial education. And there's really some good news here. You know, the classics of the great literature through the ages is available to us adults. And the great news is that it's available very inexpensively. If you went into your typical Barnes & Noble or Amazon bookstore or online, it is actually the classics put out by Penguin and other publishers that are really some of the cheapest literature that you can get your hands on. And I would just simply say to go online, look up classical education, look up a list of the classics, and pick out some works through the ages from various time periods as a sampler, and just start reading some of the great works of Augustine and Aquinas and Luther some of the great epics of Homer and some of the philosophy of Aristotle and Plato and some of the poetry of Milton and so forth. And these books are very inexpensive. They're in paperback. And that's where I think I would start my remedial education for getting a good appetite of that great conversation we were talking about.
A listener in Chicago with an email, I went to school when modern education was popular, and now I feel like I haven't made the best use of me because I don't have a good understanding of logic and rhetoric. What can I do to learn logic and rhetoric?
Well, there's plenty of resources that are out there. What I would ask that individual to do is go ahead and Google books for learning logic, rhetoric, do a Google search, and there are some basic ones out on both of those. If the listener would remember Veritas Press and Memoria Press, these are two major publishing houses that have a lot of literature that is there that teaches the stages of language learning, of grammar, logic, and rhetoric. Veritas Press, Memoria Press. They would have some great resources for our listeners to start out with.
One of the things that I appreciate the most about the classical model of education is that it is grounded, and rightly so, in a genuine Christian humanism. That is the notion that man is built to think, and that thinking is actually good for you, just the way exercise is good for you as well, and that begins with the primary sources and engaging those primary sources. With about a minute and a half, talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, and one of the things about those primary sources, what we often refer to as the great books, or we refer to them as the Western canon or so forth, is to understand something about what we call the Great Conversation. The Great Conversation, while it certainly carried on of a number of topics, tended to focus on three questions, and it began with the ancient Greeks and moved on forward. What is life? What is death? And how is it that we might secure the future? If we might think of the scriptures that we have, certainly the scriptures, if anything, focus on those three questions: the life that we have in Christ, in the face of the problem of sin and death that we have, and how our future is secured in the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That great conversation there, and how that applies into various situations and circumstances of human existence, it forms the backbone of the classical Great Conversation that that I certainly can recommend all of our listeners to engage. And that's really what a classical learning is all about.
Dr. Hein, with a few minutes left here, tell us a little bit about this Classical Education Conference coming up in late June, early July in Concordia, Missouri. About a minute.
Sure. Yeah, this is the annual conference of the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education, which is a professional organization of classical educators, homeschoolers, pastors, and others who are interested in learning more about and in promoting a classical model within Christian and particularly Lutheran education circles. We are having our ninth annual conference, the theme of which is called the Classical Classroom Theory and Practice, and it's going to be held at St. Paul's Lutheran High School in Concordia, Missouri, this coming June 30th through
July 2nd.
And we will have speakers. We have planned over 25 different topics and sectionals, which will bring Christian educators from around the country of sharing their expertise in answering the question, what is classical education, what's good about it, and how can we get involved with it?
Folks, we have information posted about this conference in Concordia, Missouri, in midsummer under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Issuesetc.org, click on demand. Dr. Stephen Hein is director of the Concordia Institute for Christian Studies based in Monument, Colorado. He taught theology for more than two decades at Concordia University, Chicago, and he will be one of the speakers at a Classical Education Conference, June the 30th through July the 2nd in Concordia, Missouri. Dr. Hein, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much, Todd. Take care now.
When we come back from our break, we will be joined by Congressman John Shimkus of the 19th District of Illinois from Washington, D.C. for a Washington update. We're going to be talking about several things with him in no particular order. We do have to deal with the symbolic and rather arbitrary milestone that every president faces 100 days in. Obama's first 100 days. We'll talk about the president's first 100-day milestone. And then we're going to be talking about Arlen Specter's departure from the GOP, joining up with the Democratic Party. How big of a deal is that? The bailout, of course. We'll also talk about gay marriage as it continues to creep its way across the country, state by state. And they just dealt with a hate crimes bill in the U.S. House that we'll need to talk to him about. A Washington update with Congressman John Shimkus on the other side of this break. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback.com. At issuesetc.org.